Third presentation this afternoon will be by Mr. Paul Arangwa. Paul is a study coordinator at the University of Colorado and has taken part in numerous studies, including the application of targeted focal therapy for the treatment of organ-confined prostate cancer, the injection of botulinum toxin for the treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia, salvage cryotherapy online registry evaluation, and several other investigator-initiated studies. Currently, Paul works closely on several self-designed quality-of-life studies on various prostate and testicular cancer patient cohorts. His special interests include database design and data analysis, study design, clinical epidemiology, and minimally invasive prostate cancer diagnostic and treatment procedures, including 3D staging biopsy and targeted focal therapy. Paul will be speaking today about a program that he and his colleagues have worked on in terms of reaching men on a health screening program for prostate cancer and the most effective strategies to reach them. Please join me in welcoming Paul Arangwa.
I'd like to thank Dr. Brooks and Dr. Gath for very interesting presentations. So I'm here today to talk about reaching men to participate in a health screening program. Some of the disclosures, one of my constituents, Wendy Pogue, has a few different disclosures to mention, most of which I don't feel really affect this particular presentation, and I personally do not have any commercial interests. So as Dr. Brooks was mentioning in his presentation, that prostate cancer really is a very common cancer, and it's the most common cancer in men and the second leading cause of cancer death in men. And every year, currently, 2 million men are living with prostate cancer today. And there are more cases of prostate cancer diagnosed each year than breast cancer in women, so it's a very prevalent disease. And nearly 30,000 men will die from prostate cancer this year. Now, the background of the screening program that we do, we've been doing it for 24 years. It's called Prostate Cancer Awareness Week, and it's typically done in the third week of September. It's one of the largest screening programs in the world. And thus far, since the program began, we've screened over about 5 million men. And this is for prostate cancer and other men's health issues. And the levels of participation, each site can choose different levels of participation in different screenings that they would like to participate in. Each site, including our Denver site, obviously has IRB protocol designs and implementations going on. And the program is also reaching more of an international base beginning the past few years. There's been some screening going on in Japan as well as other parts of the world. And we try to really create a lot of awareness through marketing and media. So there's a lot of controversy in prostate cancer screening, as Dr. Brooks mentioned during his presentation. And a lot of men we find hear about these screening issues through the media, whether that's the internet or, TV, stuff like that. And so we were really interested to find out in men that participated in the program how they found out about the program. So the purpose of our PCAW, Prostate Cancer Awareness Week, is that it's one of the largest in the world and has been noted for its success, reaching men across ethnic boundaries to participate. And we really want to analyze the impact on the PCAW program that this screening has, as well as how men hear about it. So in 2000, we analyzed the data from a national screening database from the 2012 screening program. And we looked at self-reported data from a questionnaire that we designed, such as age, race, and really how they learned about the program. So this is an example of our prostate cancer screening questionnaire. It does not show the entire questionnaire, but just gives you a kind of sample of the layout. We use a software called Abby FlexiCapture, which is a form reading software. And it works actually very well in terms of getting a lot of these mass screening forms into a database. So simply you scan it into the computer and build a system, and it'll usually recognize check mark boxes very well as handwriting, and it requires minimal verification procedures in order to get a whole site of 500 men entered into a system as opposed to manual entry. So in our analysis, we had several different response variables. We looked at men who learned about these screening programs through work. This includes some flyers, pay stub inserts that we inserted into various, most of the pay stub inserts actually we inserted into people in the military into their pay stubs. We also did email blasts. We had the family, friends with word of mouth advertising, which is always a good thing. Internet, we had a lot of news letters, online listings, websites, blogs, stuff like that. Newspaper, we did print ads and print stories about other participants, depending on the area we were looking at. And we found the radio. We did radio interviews and radio ads. And there's other types of communication, such as large public gatherings. We did normal mailings and stuff like that. So the overall breakdown for this analysis, we found that the majority of our population was Caucasian non-Hispanic. And we had 21% black and 7% Hispanic. So overall, it's not a very representative sample because there's the large majority is Caucasian. But we still find the results to be pretty interesting. So for the combined data analysis plan, this is the summary of what we found, that a lot of men, the vast majority, found out about our screening event through the newspaper. And this may not be terribly surprising because a lot of the men that we're screening are above the age of 50. So about 33% of men found out about it through the newspaper. And then family, friends, and other came into very strong proportions, around 23%. Surprisingly, about 7% found out about it through work, and about 7% through the radio, and only 6% really found out about us from the internet. Now, in terms of breaking down through race, what we found, again, is that newspapers still predominated in white, non-Caucasian males. And about 37% of men finding us through the newspaper. 7% on the internet, 5% on the radio. And then family, friends, and other also is very similar to the aggregate data, which is about 22 and 23%. And 6% of men found out through work. In terms of black males, our population was around 772. And you can see here, actually, in this population, family and friends came out first above the newspaper. And around 28% of black men found out about us that way. 26% through another source. 24% through the newspaper. A little bit higher through the work at 9% as compared to around 6% with the Caucasian group. And very similar to the aggregate, around 6% on the internet and 7% on the radio. Now, in terms of Hispanic men, we only had 251, but we still wanted to include this sample. About 30% found out through the newspaper, about 24% roughly through the radio and family and friends, and only 5% on the internet and 6% through work. So, overall, men aged 30 through 39, so kind of the younger group, men we don't necessarily encourage screening on because of their young age, we see that the majority did find out through family and friends, and some also found us through the newspaper as well as on the internet. As you can see, it's kind of more of a breakdown here among race. And you can see that family, friends is still pretty strong along the whole cohort, as well as newspaper coming in close second for these individuals. Now, in the men age 40 to 49, our sample size was 400. And you can see that family and friends in this situation predominated as a communication method and how they found out about our screening event. And newspaper came in second to that with around 84 men finding out that way. And let's see, the other was very close as well with 83 men finding out. And surprisingly, about 56 out of those men found out at work. So So here's some more race-specific breakdowns of men between 40 and 49. As you can see, newspaper was very strong, as well as family and friends referrals among the different ethnicities. And in men aged 50 to 59, newspaper started to be more prevalent in terms of how they found out about us. Second with family and friends, as well as other. The internet really was one of the smaller ones. Only 78 men found out about us that way. So that may not be the ideal modality to select for these particular men of this age range. As you can see, here's another race breakdown of this specific age group, with family and friends being very strong, as well as the newspaper and the internet kind of dwindling off as we go from the Caucasian to Black to Hispanic populations. Now, this is the men aged 60 to 69, good age for the screening group. As you can see, a very large proportion found out about us through the newspaper. Family, friends came in at a close second, and other was around 344. So this is another breakdown that we have. As you can see, by race, newspaper was very strong in the Caucasian population, likely because they are the majority in this group. As well as radio and family and friends as well. So 70 to 79, here's some more breakdowns. Newspaper was even stronger among this group. Family and friends and other were very popular as well. Internet was not nearly as popular, but it's kind of starting to dwindle in these groups. And there's the another breakdown as we have with the predominance in newspapers. And lastly, I believe, all races, men aged 80 to 89, really small group here, only 130 men, but about 60 found out about us through the newspaper, and close second was the other, and then only a small proportion at work. And here is the breakdown, not an entirely representative sample. We have the vast majority being Caucasian, but still gives us a little bit of information on the Black and Hispanic populations. So overall in our results, we found out that the newspaper really was the predominant form of how we were reaching these men, which is peaking right around 35% for men aged 60 to 69, and the second leading modality was through family and friends and word-of-mouth advertising. And in terms of age 30 to 49, the younger guys, we really found that family and friends was the predominant way that they heard. In both white and Black men, internet and radio were actually the least common ways. And in Hispanic men, radio seemed to be an effective outreach tool to reach them and inform them about our screening efforts. Now, overall, the newspaper and print really remained the top methods for garnering participation among these groups. This is followed directly by referrals and direct mail outreach efforts. And surprisingly, really a few men, only few men found out about our screening efforts online and through radio programs. However, this does not include the Hispanic middle-aged men, as radio was an effective way to reach them. And that is the end of the presentation. Any questions?